This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily is powered by my man John down at the Argyle League. He's the one that's responsible for this clean-ass fade that I got, boys. It's a fade, this new cut I got, which, Ron, I don't appreciate you not even mentioning over the last couple days.
Can't even see it right
well,
now.
Well, I don't know. You saw it front and center yesterday. Didn't say a damn word about
it's
it. I mean, look, I'm going to tell you.
When it comes to it.
I got something fresh on, I got some nice shoes on, if I go with beard, if I get a fade, if I get something, I expect Ron to show Hughley to comment on it.
Well, I co-signed when Tyler said it yesterday.
I think Tyler said it. He whispered it in my ear. He didn't say it out there where everybody can hear it.
He said it on the air. We
don't
co-signed.
Appreciate it. I don't appreciate it.
All right.
You don't get credit for co-signing.
Yes, you do.
Well, hey, look. I mean,
I'd like to compliment it right now.
I
just see a white hat.
I feel like, this may not be politically correct, but I feel like when I work with a black man every day, I feel like it's very fair to expect a compliment or to get dog cussed if it's not right. When it comes to my hair, my clothes, my shoes, I feel like that's the least I could expect out of you. Just telling you, man. That's the perk. That's one of the perks, right?
I don't know why you're wearing a hat right now.
Well, you know, I don't.
As you said yesterday, you grew it in a little bit, and then that fade was able to come through nice.
Be honest with you, right? Hey, show. I walked in last night, little party. Boy, my wife.
She hadn't seen you yet.
Oh, wife, mother-in-law. My little girl saw me before they did. She almost didn't recognize me. My wife, my mother-in-law, my mom, my sister-in-law. They all was like, "Ooh, wee! I like that haircut." I said, well, job well done, John at Argyle League. I'll take it. The women love it. I appreciate it, Bob.
Be a little quicker next time, John.
That ain't no joke. Boy, he took his time. But it was like extreme makeover. It was like, I mean, I sat down looking like a wet dog now. Hair just hanging everywhere, coming out of my ears. Look, it took him 5 minutes to trim them damn eyebrows. I looked, them things was creepy crawlers coming off my damn eyebrows. How big of a game is it this week for the Houston Texans? I tell you, Ron, one beautiful thing about being in the TV business a few years back, the amount of stats when you're in the TV business that you get via email or you get handed a hard copy printout when you walk in the building in the TV business is unbelievable. Now, I don't know how they get to all of them. I'm not a huge advanced stat guy, but every now and then I see something that jumps out. And I couldn't help but see this. If the Texans fans are out there wondering what this game means for the Houston Texans, the Texans' chances to get to the playoffs this year with a win on Sunday night versus the Chiefs.
Playoffs?
Yes, that's exactly what the hell we're talking about. Jim, isn't that Jim? Exactly what we're talking about. 76 percent.
Yeah, that go way up.
Who would have thought that week 13, the Texans would be sitting here with a game to be played in prime time that would, if they win, could put them, give them a 76% chance of getting in the playoffs. That's a big number. That's a big number with 4 weeks remaining in the season, by the way. It's a big number given how you started your season. 76% chance of getting in the playoffs. That's how big this win is versus Kansas City. Now, that obviously comes on the heels of beating the Colts, who are ahead of you in the wild card. It's taken into consideration that the Chiefs are one of the teams that will be in that wild card hunt with you as well. And so you're not only getting a win and getting your squad to that 8-win mark, but you are knocking teams off in consecutive weeks that would be competing for you. Now, the bad news, which I don't think this is that bad news, to be honest with you, Ron. It's a higher number than I thought. If the Texans lose on Sunday night to the Kansas City Chiefs, you're looking at a 37% chance of still getting in the playoffs.
Yeah.
With that loss.
Yeah. Their schedule helps them. Their schedule helps them, too. And they still, for them, control games against other teams that are in front of them right now with the Chargers and the Colts.
Yeah. The fact that the Colts and the Jaguars still play each other, the fact that you still have games against the Chargers, the Colts, and for right now, the Chiefs, that obviously bodes well for your chances to get in the playoffs. But 76% chance to get in the playoffs if you win this Sunday, 37% chance if you lose this weekend. That thing jumped off the screen up there at me, Ron. I wanted to give that over to the people there. Is there a one guy, Ron, that we ain't talking enough about? Is the Woody Marks injury last week and the previous week, and more importantly, just where we sit right now, the Woody Marks bad foot, is that situation something that we should probably look a little more closely at?
Especially how more serious it gets. He didn't practice today, which I don't think is a major surprise. I think it gets a little bit more serious tomorrow, moving on the rest of the week. But, yeah, I mean, it's a similar situation of like, oh, when Nico Collins goes out, or oh, when Derek Stingley goes out. Yeah. It's not just that you're losing them, but it also means, all right, now where are you at in that position? And for the Texans, they would move to a combination of Woody Marks and Nick Chubb, which has been working pretty well as a 1-2 punch, where there's some versatility, to now a combination of Nick Chubb and what would appear to be Dare Ogunbowale. That's a big shift for a team that wants to play ball control and defense.
Well, you mentioned him not practicing today. It was Kamari Lassiter, Will Anderson, and Woody Marks were three guys that didn't practice today. And D'Amico Ryans was asked specifically about those three, and I think you're going to like this answer.
Yeah, Kamari, Woody, Will, they'll be fine. We'll see how the week goes.
Now, he did throw that little caveat in there. We'll see how the week goes. But D'Amico Ryans, you know, if there was a chance these guys weren't going to play, at least as of today, if these guys weren't going to play, he would decline commenting on what they're doing. And he would talk strictly about, we'll see how the week goes. So the simple fact that he said, nah, these guys will be fine, that's big. But the Woody Marks situation with the foot, I think, is much bigger than maybe, you know, we're talking about. Roughly 18 carries a game over the last three games. He has, over the last month, Ron, weeks 9 through 12, I mean, he's in the top 7 or 8 running backs in the league and from a usage perspective. 76%, I believe it's 76% of the snaps, is what Woody Marks is getting here in Houston. That is a huge leap from where he once was, where he was splitting time with three other backs, which I know, rookie, first year, first week out of the first rattle out of the box. This guy's grown significantly. Just to be able to handle the workload of 76% is big for a young running back. But now the question is, can his body handle this kind of workload?
Yeah. Maybe we're seeing something now with the foot issue. Because that's the other part is, I do think whatever happens, Clint, he is not going to be the explosive Woody Marks we've been able to see get to this point where he's clearly taken over running back one role. We saw it in the game when he came back. He was able to make things happen and had a big, big final drive where he got that first down. But he wasn't as explosive as we've seen him with that foot.
Well, he wasn't as explosive, but he's still slippery, right? I mean, the final 8 or 9 yard run that put us in a point where we could end the game with the ball in our offense's hands was big. We've seen that throughout the year. And quite frankly, there's just nobody else on this roster right now that brings that to the table. The other part of this thing that nobody brings to the table, Ron, is what he was able to do week 4. We talk a lot about the runs that ended games or the runs that converted third down or fourth down, and that's as big as anything, no doubt about it. But also, as we go along in these bigger games against teams like Kansas City, in games where we've talked about, like where C.J. Stroud has to manage risk, a lot of that is going to entail Nick Caley scheming things up to get the running backs touches in the pass game, not just the run game. A lot of that is going to consist of, hey, man, getting to your checkdowns quicker rather than later, using these running backs in the screen game, things of that nature. And what we know Woody Marks is capable of doing is what he did week 4, kind of when he jumped on the scene, if we're honest. I mean, since then, I don't think the Texans' decision makers have looked back. 17 carries for 69 yards and a touchdown. 4 catches for 50 yards and 1 touchdown. Now, the question is, how does Nick Caley, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, the offensive staff, how do they manage him having a bum foot with, really, we need him to have a big game? You know, that's the key, right, is how do you really look at this thing? It sounds like, by the way, when you just heard from D'Amico, when you hear from actually, Aaron Wilson had posted a video of him interviewing Woody Marks, looks like at his locker, and Woody said, "Miss games? No, I'm fine." So they sound like all is good, but when you factor in that it's a foot injury on a running back and it's a game that you actually probably going to need all hands on deck to be productive and in the game plan, how do you manage that with him? I'm going to guess they just go full go and ride the horse until the wheels come off.
Unless he's hampered, then you probably got to make some adjustments. The scary thing is, what is the adjustment? Right, because they don't. There's not a lot.
They're all fixable.
Yeah, there's not a lot on the roster that does what he's able.
Well,
to do.
Unfortunately,
Darray
or Nick. I mean, you got to get them involved in that screen game. I just think you're going to need more out of the guys that have proven to be game changers. Obviously, Nico. Obviously, Dalton Schultz. And I think. And look, Higgins is coming, but I think the guy, as you mentioned earlier, he touches the ball more than anybody. I mean, you're looking at 18 carries a damn game, damn near, for the last 3 weeks. 76% of the snaps over the last month. I mean, this is a guy that's on the field a lot, that's touching the ball a lot. This is the quickest way to make make hay, if you will. This guy is one of your more explosive players. So how do you manage that particular injury? You know, one thing, this probably kind of leans into what you do with your running backs, but one thing that I've noticed on film, Ron, that I'm kind of glad appears to have fallen by the wayside, the 57 is reporting eligible.
That slowed down a little bit?
It seems like it has. I hadn't seen the percentages, but it seems like it has. And I'm just going to go on record.
That Buffalo home game, it was still being said a lot.
I mean, they did it so much, it scares you to make sure they execute it right, which they didn't half the time. I'm between the inability of everybody to line up last week, I'll be honest with you, watching Big Blake on film, I mean, it's a good switch up Dalton Schultz is really your only dependable tight end. It's a good switch up to have somebody in there that can do some stuff. But now that you got Cade Stover back, Ron, I would be okay if outside of goal line situations, if Big 57 ain't on the field.
I was going to say, how much do you see it paying off? How much do you see them getting there? Because they're running it as if they're getting a lot out of it.
Bro, I'm going to tell you right now, if he did at the tackle position some of the stuff I've seen on film that he does at that jumbo tight end position, his ass might be on that Lakin Thompson train. Is it Thompson?
Tomlinson.
He might be on that Lakin Tomlinson train. I mean, it's rough. I think Cade Stover is kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for Blake Fisher. I got to believe that that even Stover coming in with 2 weeks, you know, the last 2 weeks and kind of working his way back into doing football things, has been pretty quiet, probably more quiet than I'd like him to be. I wanted him to jump on the scene and be the guy that we thought he was going to be from the jump of the season. We'll be patient. But I think from a package and a personnel standpoint, Ryan, I think Cade Stover has – hopefully Cade Stover spells an end to the Blake Fisher packages that we've seen.
Yeah, they we'll see. They've been running it a lot and really like it. That's been a popular thing around the league, that jumbo package, bringing in an extra lineman. Maybe they're seeing some success. It has not – it doesn't appear that it has really said, oh, man, they're getting a lot of great stuff off.
Well, it's a trend in the league. I think the Texans were forced into it with their tight end position. Now that Stover's back, it gives you an alternative. And I'm going to be honest with you, I never thought we'd be sitting here week 13 talking about Dalton Schultz playing at a physicality level that makes you comfortable to just say, hey, man, let him do some of those things. But he has. And so, Ron, I think it's something. You've got to – not only has he been bad, but Cade Stover's got to become that guy. Like, if you can get Cade Stover to be the guy you thought he was just in the run game, and you put Cade Stover to the right side to where you got Jake Andrews, who I love the way CJ described him, by the way, but you got Ed Ingram, you got Trent Brown, and then you got Cade Stover, a tight end that can move folks – that could be a real run surface over there that could be a problem for a lot of defense.
Well, he's also not a real threat that you think, oh, he's going to go out for a pass.
Who, Fisher?
Yeah. You have a pretty good idea of what he, at least he's going to be doing and maybe even what the play is.
Well, you know he's either protecting or he's blocking down, one of the two. And I don't know how.
Stover would at least give you a thought of like, oh, he might.
You got to play it different, right?
Yeah.
So I got to believe that they move on from that. So we'll see. But the big thing here is monster game for the Texans. Win the game. You got a 76% chance of getting the playoffs. And keep an eye on Woody Marks. That foot, they're playing it down. Not a major ordeal right now, but it could be something major, because that guy is a much bigger part, really, than he probably should be, but a much bigger part of this offense when it comes to your explosive players than we'd like to admit.
All right. Some news in the NFL that a lot of Texans fans were potentially looking at for their team. We'll give you that, as that has just come across the board. And something's been going around about a player that was a surprise player for the Astros and a player that a lot of us felt like they needed to have in the lineup. Maybe he's on the move. We'll talk about that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Coming up next.
I'm going to protect my boy Dirty. I'm going to protect my boy Ron. And I'm going to protect my boy T.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, some news coming across the NFL. Darius Slay, a lot of people were looking at him as the Steelers released him yesterday. They released him yesterday, waived him, and the Bills have claimed him. The Buffalo Bills have claimed Darius Slay, and he is going to go to another AFC contender that held the team they played last week. Played against the Bills last week. Now he's going to join the Bills. Hopefully that didn't. Any over-the-line trash talking didn't happen because he's got to be on their team.
Got to be in the locker room with him, huh?
Yeah, so Darius Slay, a lot of people had some thoughts about him potentially coming here and adding to that secondary in the corner room or the safety spot, but that is not going to happen. He is going to go to Buffalo. So that is the latest move there. Again, as we talked about yesterday, the Texans have two roster spots to fill. We'll see what it is they're going to do with that. But Darius Slay is not going to be one of them. So that is the latest there with him. We'll see what else the Texans are able to do there. Coming up here in just a bit, Texans report with our guy, Brandon Scott. He'll join us. We'll get his thoughts as he was there. We heard him there talking to D'Amico, talking to C.J. Stroud. We'll get his thoughts as we head to this big game coming up on Sunday. All right, Clint. This was interesting. This report, Ken Rosenthal, who covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic and Fox Sports, he said that the Astros have gotten considerable interest for their center fielder, Jake Meyers, and are open to moving him for a controllable starter. That's from Ken Rosenthal.
Astros ain't loyal.
By the way, Meyers posted career highs in both average and on base percentage. He's 29 years old. His slash line, he hit .292, .354, .373 OPS of over 700. Three homers, 24 RBIs, almost 2.5 WAR. He missed several games. He only played 104 games. But he is the center fielder that they've waited on. They've waited for him to play at this level. Your thoughts about the Astros potentially moving off Jake Meyers?
I got zero problems with it. I mean, I don't. I'm sure anybody listening to the show knows that I'm not. I mean, Jake damn sure isn't untouchable. I appreciated the progress that he was making last year. But again, it was just due to injury. It was just another flash in the pan kind of deal.
You needed somebody. You're talking about we got to have him. You were like last year, hey, man,
yeah,
we got to have him.
Yeah, yeah. Last year for that potential playoff run, you needed him to try to squeak in the playoffs. You needed him, but you didn't get him. So, I'm okay with him moving on from him. He is not a guy that's untouchable. He's damn sure not a guy that's untouchable if you can get in return a potential starter in this rotation, somebody that you know can at least stay healthy and contribute as a starting pitcher.
It feels huge.
I mean, hell, I felt like Dubon would have been a more productive center fielder than him anyway.
Dubon, Chaz McCormick are both not a part of the team anymore.
Well, they really like this Melton cat, I wouldn't be opposed to Cam Smith moving over there and being a center fielder.
Yeah.
Don't know how real that is, but I know they speak of Jacob Melton, very, very high. So
hey man, Taylor Trammell was over there doing
There you go.
Listen,
you got plenty of guys on this. To me, you got plenty of guys that bring something similar to Jake Meyers to the table in the outfield at the plate.
Listen, I think Jake was a vital part to this team, and really, as you said, he really improved to a point where that time where he came out of the dugout and couldn't make it to a center field spot. Like, we were all – like, Tyler sent an all-cuss-word message. I think it was as much about the training staff, but also about Jake. Like, damn, we need him in center field. He's a bronze glove winner. One of the better defensive – by the metrics, one of the better defensive center fielders in the league without an arm. And they still view him in that way. So I think he is an important piece, and I don't think you just roll on with him – or anything.
No.
But if he is somebody that teams are clamoring for, and there's a chance you could get
considerable interest.
Multiple teams. I said like seven teams being connected to
him. Mm.
And you can get starting pitching for it?
Yep.
I would not bet that Jake Meyers is going to be any more of a commodity than he is right now. And
his stock's up, huh?
I mean, way up. And listen, as I said, man, I mean, we can figure something out for three homers, 24 RBIs, 292/354. Pretty good. We can figure something out. We could try to do something to figure that out, right? I mean, no offense to Jake, but it is what they could get in return. I wouldn't just trade Jake for a utility player or a middle relief guy or anything. Are you talking about starting pitching? Where he's looking like that and people are talking about, boy, we're hunting down center fielders? Yeah, Jake would be on his – he'd be on his way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got zero problems with it. I think you've got –
what is going on with center fielders right now that Jake is a commodity like this?
Well, maybe there's some similar issues. People around the league are having similar issues the Astros are. They've just ran everybody through center field that they possibly could, along with left and right, and they're just not happy with them. I don't know.
Wow.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
I guess.
Or maybe they're gonna make a move for a bigger name.
I'm just saying. But Jake, a commodity, considerable interest, six or seven teams.
Can Altuve play center?
I don't know.
He didn't even laugh. He didn't even.
Hell, I don't know.
It was a joke. Good God!
Hell, I think they might.
It's not funny, Clint.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize Jake had you in your feels like that.
Hell, man. I think they might try.
Be honest, it wouldn't surprise me. That guy right there, yeah, like they didn't think he could sing either until that commercial popped.
They still don't think he can sing. Yeah, Jake Martin. Yeah, I saw that. I said, hell, man, Dana Brown better be. All right, who we got?
Yeah.
What else you need?
I wonder if that's him throwing it out there and fishing, or is there really some folks tied to him?
What is going on?
I would think Ken would have checked other sources to see if these other teams have checked in too.
You don't think Ken got a direct line to Dana?
Well, I bet he does, but I don't think Ken's just going to say, well, you know what, Dana, I believe you. Let me just take your word for it, Dana. Go see it. Yeah, I don't know. So Jake Meyers could be on the move. We'll see. I definitely, if there's any kind of starting pitching that could go in a rotation, I'm making that move yesterday. All right, let's get ready to talk to our guy, B. Scott. Brandon Scott was out there today talking to the Texans. Big media day as D'Amico and C.J. Stroud spoke. We'll get his thoughts, a little Texans report with Brandon.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's got coming up next?
Touchdown! Wow!
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is Wednesday, 4:40. Our guy, B. Scott, Brandon Scott, is with us for his Texans report. We were hearing our guy earlier as the media met with D'Amico and C.J. Stroud. So he was there talking to the people. And this is one of those games, teams that in the D'Amico era, they have not, especially in terms of winning, had a lot of success. This is the team that ended their season last year. It seems like maybe they were trying to downplay it. Do you get a feel like this is a game that this team – and the players on this team have been circling, have wanted, and are there's a little something extra to this game when you saw them this week?
Yeah, they did the same thing when they were going to play Baltimore earlier in the season, right? And that was a different circumstance. Early in the season, Baltimore was banged up. Not as much really on the line other than the fact that they had, you know, they were struggling and hadn't really done anything at that point. But now we're talking about going into the postseason, trying to secure your postseason fate. And there are a handful of teams in front of you or that could keep you from doing that. And the Chiefs probably got to be the best one despite their record, right? Like you think of all their opponents, they just beat the Colts who they play again. The next best team that they play other than the Chiefs is going to be the Chargers. And despite records, who do you trust more? Who scares you more? What bothers you more? Going to Kansas City and facing Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in that outfit, or Justin Herbert and the Chargers going to L.A.? So, like, this is your toughest opponent left. And it's the one, as you describe it, the one that's kind of had your number the last couple of times that you've seen them. So, yeah, no, I get a sense that it's just a lot of down. And remember, after they beat the Ravens, they did talk about how it was good to sort of get that monkey off their back. I'm paraphrasing here, but they did express those sentiments once they won the game. Didn't want to let you see too much of that before the game, but definitely showed that after the game. And I think it'll be a similar thing here if they're able to go out there and win this game.
B. Scott, we talked about it a little earlier. There's a 76% chance that the Texans make the playoffs if they win this game. And that's obviously the number that matters and all that matters. You just find a way to win it. But I think to me, as I look at the schedule, not only is going to Kansas City, I think, the toughest, most dangerous game left on the schedule, but I think when you look specifically at how the Texans want to play ball and you look at how they're comfortable in a close game and you look at how they appear to be okay playing towards having a lead in the fourth quarter, a one-score lead in the fourth quarter with their defense on the field, not only is this the best team, I think this is the most dangerous team relative to how you want to play. I know the Texans are confident in who they are. I know they feel like they got speed. I know they feel like they can pass rush. But do you really want to be, and can you really accomplish and survive and get a dub with Pat Mahomes on the other side of the ball playing in the fourth quarter in a one-score game? I think that test is going to be major, and if you pass it in that fashion, boy, what a statement win that would be.
Yeah, man, and it's also the best, and this goes without saying because you know who these guys are. They're football famous, but it's the best combination of all of the key spots for a football team. When you think about head coach and play caller, quarterback, And even on the defensive side, defensive play caller, right? They talked a lot about that. Was the theme of the press conference today, both with D'Amico, and he was asked about it. D'Amico, to be fair, they were asked about Spags. But even with C.J. Stroud, when they asked him the question about, hey, what can you learn from your previous matchups against the Chiefs? And the first thing he mentions is, well, that Spags is really good, you know, that he's a really good coordinator. So, I think that from that standpoint, too, like if your formula works against the best head coach, defensive coordinator, quarterback combination, that's a weird maybe, you know, threesome to make there. But if it can work against that, then you got to feel good about it against everything else that you got up against you.
B. Scott in the building, I just say a lot of teams' formulas have been working against that team.
Fair enough.
This year, let's just be fair enough. But we'll see what happens in this game coming up. Woody Marks, Clint has been talking about that. He shows up on the injury report and doesn't practice today. Is he somebody to you, if he isn't able to go or he's hampered, does this change a lot of the offense and change what Nick Caley is going to have to do?
Yeah, I think it changes the off. I think what Nick Caley is going to have to do and what he's going to do is going to end up being relatively the same regardless of Woody Marks. It's just not going to look the same. And we're not going to like it the same, right? That's just the fact of the matter, right? If you make it Chubb and Ogunbowale as opposed to Marks and Chubb, that just changes the entire dynamic, right? So, like, I think they're going to try to do the same things if Woody either can't go or he's hampered or limited or whatever the case may be. But it's just not going to be as good. I like Nick Chubb, just to be clear. Like, I don't mind if, like, say you had a better third back. Or you know what I mean? If you just had a little bit more depth there, it's not as much of a Nick Chubb problem as much as it would be, hey, Woody Marks is special, but then also your depth is hurt because it's like Nick Chubb and then what else? Ogunbowale, you know, that's just a totally different dynamic. No disrespect to Dario Ogunbowale, but I mean, that's just what it is. So I think the game plan would be the same, but you would definitely miss the one guy that has stood out in that room, which is Woody Marks.
Yeah, I mean, what we're talking about here is a guy that's had over 70% of the snaps. I'm about a guy that's getting 18, maybe in a game like this, even 20 carries in a game kind of deal. So he's carrying a big load, and it seems to get bigger the more important that the games get. And so I'm not as worried about him playing injured. I'm not necessarily worried about, hey, man, we got to – because of the foot, maybe we want to lessen his workload kind of deal. I'm fine with that. I'm with you. I'm worried about, man, if this guy gets to a point, this is a foot for a running back. If he gets to a point where he can't go, boy, that it just takes the winds out of your sails of a guy that could get slippery on a third and short or fourth and short.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that could catch a ball in the backfield and give you, you know, 25 or 30 easily. That's a big blow to this offense. I like what Higgins is doing. I like what a lot of these guys are doing, but we lack explosion across the board.
You lack explosion, and particular to the offense and how critical it is. Like, it is important for this offense to be, like, they can't not be a one-dimensional offense. It just can't be. They need to play complementary football, not just all the way around as a team, but specifically as an offense as a whole. So, like, you think about the things that have made them better over the last several weeks, over this four-game winning streak or whatever it is. It's the fact that they have, even when they haven't necessarily run it well, they've been able to do it at least consistently enough to commit to it and feel confident in it. It's got, a mix to do with their new offensive line combination, but also the fact that Woody Marks has ascended as that lead back. Like, these things are working hand in hand. It's not like a coincidence. It's part of the progression of the offense. If they can lean on Woody Marks, then Nick Chubb could just be a secondary running back. So now they got a legitimate rush attack. You eliminate that, you take that away, and now we're almost back to square one with this offense not really having a whole lot going. Because like you said, they don't have a whole lot of explosion. They're starting to at least show that brute force that they talked about wanting to show from the beginning. But, you know, if you don't have your best back, that's going to be difficult.
Brandon, do you get a sense that this is a game that C.J. Stroud has to go and make plays in? Like, for them to win this game against this team, against that quarterback, is this a game where you're like, all right, we need our quarterback to go in there, not match Mahomes or match whatever, but make plays in this game for them to win.
Yeah, I heard y'all having this discussion earlier. I do think that it is important for CJ. Like, I don't think he has to go in there thinking that, like, I got to go in there and make plays. But the fact is he does have to make plays. Like, I think that part is unavoidable. I think he can go in there with the mindset of, hey, I'm going to manage the game. I'm going to take care of the football. We are going to make it a priority to possess the football. I'm going to take what the defense gives me. But at the same time, knowing and having the confidence that, hey, when a play is there, that bootleg to, was it to Stover? Like a play like that. Yep. I'm going to be ready and willing to make that play when it's there. Or like Clint was talking about, if the game dictates it, if the Chiefs get out to a 14-0 lead, hey, you know, we don't feel like we got a quarterback. I don't feel like I'm a quarterback if I'm CJ Stroud, who can't get us back in the game. So I think you got to have that mentality. But the way that they approach the game is going to be the way we've seen it, right? Like ball control, run the football, play keep. I think a lot of what they have done is play keep away from the opposing quarterback, from the opposing offense. I don't think that this game is going to be much different.
No, don't talk yet, Clint. Let me ask you something. How many times you play Peyton Manning?
Twice.
You played Manning. Tom Brady wasn't really Tom Brady when you played him at Michigan. He was good, but he's not what we think. You didn't go into that game thinking, in those like those Peyton Manning games, all right, this feels a little different than me playing Quincy Carter or whoever else you.
But
I don't mean
before you answer,
but,
Clint.
But you didn't go into thinking, all right, I've got it. Like, this is a game I got to make some plays.
Before you even answer, can I just say that to me, because I know that's been your position, Ron, that to me feels like overthinking it. Like, it's a fine thing to talk about, but for him to go in there and be like, man, it's Mahomes on the other side. It's the Chiefs. It's Peyton Manning. I got to make a play. That feels like overthinking the game to me.
Sure, I guess. I think athletes do that. Like, I think right now, when the Rockets play the Nuggets, I think Şengün is thinking to himself a little different, like, all right, hey, this is a game I got to pick it up a little bit. I got to pick it up a little bit different than I'm playing Nurkic like he played the Jazz. And I do think there are offenses and quarterbacks. Hell, I'll just let the guy answer because he's looked it more than us. But I do think there are sometimes you look over there and you're like, all right, hey, man, I don't think 17 is going to get it today. Or I don't think 14 is going to get it today. I got to make some – I'm not talking about I'm throwing all kind of pressure on myself. But, like, hey, I don't know if I can be as conservative this week as if I'm facing Cam Ward and the Titans. That's what I'm saying. So when you went into those games against teams like Peyton Manning, not in your mind did you think, all right, we got to be a little bit more aggressive in this game. We got to put more points up.
No, I didn't. I mean, maybe I wasn't good enough to do that. I don't know. So but I didn't. I mean, I just my focus.
I meant about the good enough.
My focus wholeheartedly was always on execute this offense, our offense, stay within our offense. If the big play presents itself, hell yeah, I'm gonna take it over the top. I never played scared. Some of the stuff that we talk about. Now, that may be why I got a career 50-some-odd completion percentage or something, but I never played scared, but there's some truth to what you hear and you know, about this offense and about CJ Stroud, and I'm cut from the cloth of, hey, man, this isn't about being a playmaker. This isn't about how many great plays you can make. I wholeheartedly believe in, if you're going to win championships, and this offense emphasizes it majorly, by the way, I wholeheartedly believe in it's about how few mistakes you make and not about how many great plays you make.
But see, I also think that the defense, the Texans defense, is an important caveat in this discussion.
Absolutely.
Because that's where it's different. It's like, hey, if I have a defense like this, and this is where it might be different in Clint's situation or in some of those other situations that you mentioned in basketball, like, hey, I've got this other complementary piece that dictates that I don't necessarily have to do that, or at the very least, yeah, I can wait until proven otherwise, until they bust this defense's ass, until they actually show me that I got to show them, I'm going to go with the game plan and think of it kind of along the lines of the way it's been going.
Well, this is an extreme example what's going on with Houston right now. I think this is extreme. Now, obviously, CJ's better than this guy, but like, this is like the old Baltimore team of like, you don't offensive.
About Dilfer?
Yeah, no. And look, I know CJ is more talented than Dilfer. I'm just saying, like, the approach is hey, we can win with a lot less at quarterback than C.J. Stroud.
Right.
Right? Let's do that until the game or the moment, you know, dictates that, okay, now all of a sudden you got to go do Pat Mahomes type deals, or we got to put this thing on your back and you got to do – like, I think that is – it's extreme, but with our defense, I think it's true. And with the way that this group, particularly Caserio, Kaylee, and I think a defensive-minded head coach, I believe that they have no problem preaching that and that being their messaging.
I also wonder how different the offense would look with Tank Dell or at least a player like that, like a player that they trusted like that, that could stretch the ball, that could stretch the field beyond just Nico. If Jalen Noel, if they treated him the way we talk about him, right? Or if they just had a player that was similar to Tank Dell or Tank Dell himself, if we would see more aggressive plays, more shots downfield. They got a lot of guys that can thread, I feel like, underneath the short, intermediate. Of course, you got Nico that can do a lot of things. But I feel like the personnel and like the offensive personnel itself and the defense dictate that they should kind of play the way they have.
I'm trying not to be selfish because I'm looking at this time because I believe we could roll through this for another 5 more minutes. Because I know I'm not crazy as hell when Josh Allen sits over there and says, all right, yeah, we got the number one defense over here. But damn it, that's the Ravens or that's the Chiefs. And, when they say, hey, we can't kick field goals, that also means, I mean, we got to make some plays.
I don't think you're wrong. I think there's a handful of guys. I think Lamar Jackson, I mean, particularly the guys at this level that can make plays with their feet, I don't doubt that they go in there and go, okay, when this thing breaks down, I ain't throwing this bad boy away. I'm going to get something with my feet.
Yeah.
But, you know, the
and I'm not saying CJ's got to be Josh, but I'm not saying, I also think he got to be more than Davis. I think he's got to be more.
I'm sure he will at some point, but yeah. The game has going to have to dictate that.
To be fair,
the game plan is not.
I felt like he was in this last game. To be fair, against the Colts, even though the numbers didn't necessarily dictate that, he made a couple of plays that was like, oh, you know what? Only certain guys make those plays.
Yeah. All right, let me get out of here. Coming up, 5 o'clock fire. Let's look at the college football playoff rankings because there's a lot and. Sorry, Texas fans. We'll look at the injury report as it is officially out. This is one to really look at to see for both teams. And the Rockets, big one tonight and big news out of one of the biggest stars in the NBA. We'll discuss all that coming up next.